In this video, I'm going to explain the macro aspect of silver. And once you understand the game, it will help you in making sound decision whether or not you want to buy or hold silver. I'll try to make sense of the bigger picture, starting from the broad global landscape and gradually narrow it down like a funnel to a very compact and clear point of view. The goal is to turn this understanding into something practical, something you can actually use in real-world decision-making, and then you be the judge whether it makes sense to you or not. So what's happening to silver? Silver is becoming harder to get physically, while paper markets still show lower prices. When I say paper market, I mean the silver stocks, ETF, futures contract, options contract, mining stocks. These are traded through your brokerage accounts and represent paper claims on silver, not direct ownership of physical bars or coins. I hope this much is clear. Now there is a mismatch in the prices between physical silver and paper silver. This price mismatch is creating stress across future markets, manufacturers, and supply chains across the world. Now let's try to understand the silver supply situation. Physical silver is in short supply, especially in the West. Prices in Shanghai are much higher than COMEX. At one point, there was a price difference of nearly $8 per ounce higher. Normally, in this situation, traders would ship silver from the US to China to profit from this price gap. Now, the current prices as of 1st Jan 2026 are similar at both COMEX and Shanghai. So, when we saw a price difference of more than $8, what did that actually mean? It was a clear signal of strong physical demand in China. With such a wide gap, traders naturally started shipping silver from the United States to China to arbitrage the price difference and lock in profits. And this is where China's strategy comes in. By allowing that price surge to pull physical silver into the Chinese market and then introducing export restrictions on silver from January 1st, China effectively ensured that more silver entered the country, and once it was in, it was locked inside the domestic market through policy. But we have to keep in mind, China imposed a strict export licensing, not a full ban. That means it is tightly controlled. Approvals would be needed before shipping. That means China wants to monitor where the silver is going, for what use. It's a licensing system, not a full ban. Because the idea is not to keep all the silver. The idea is to control the finished product that uses silver. There is the raw material that is pure silver, and then there is the finished product where the silver is being used. Raw material is extracted from ground, it is given to us in the form of bars, coins, etc. That is the secondary market. At government level, they want the raw material to be supplied to the manufacturers so that they produce some final products whose increased value will fuel the economy. That is why if you have physical gold or silver, don't keep it in banks. Banks are another invisible hands of the government. Now in the case of China, we know that they are the manufacturing king and they want silver for solar, EV and battery industry, so that they can ship the final goods to the world and keep their dominance. And the same thing is with the United States. Even the United States wants metal to come in and go out, but in a much more valuable form. And critical industry for United States is semiconductor and medical industry. So it is the battle of acquiring raw material and who will convert the raw material into finished goods and ship it early to the world and maintain their dominance. This is the real battle going on behind the scene. Look for any metal, gold, silver, copper, platinum, whatever, and then look at the government's policy behind that metal market. That is where you will find your answer as to what is happening and the respective country's government is trying to achieve. So when we see China creating an export restriction policy, it is not to ban silver, it is to control where the silver is going, in what shape, form and purpose. I hope this much is clear. Now let's understand the mining industry. If you look at top 10 silver mines in the world based on production capacity, you will not find China in it. Mexico, South America dominates in this industry. But then you will see China dominates with an estimated 60-70% of world refined silver output. Now how is that happening? Now this doesn't mean China has more silver refiners than rest of the world. As per London Bullion Market Association, LBMA, they have listed 70-80 good delivery silver refiners worldwide. In that list, China dominates in volume, not in number of refineries. So you see, China doesn't come in the list of top 10 largest producers of silver in the world. But then China dominates in silver refining. And they are doing so because of their size of refineries, then they are doing it at low cost, and their policies are more friendly compared to other countries. This is why China dominates the silver market as a net importer despite not having top tier mine production. Now here again you can see China's strategic thinking. Why should China damage its own land or do excessive mining? Let other countries do the digging. China will handle the processing because ultimately the real value lies in the final product. and even the final product market is divided into primary and secondary segments. Silver extracted from mine is refined into bars and coins. This forms the secondary market. Beyond that is the primary market, where silver is used for industrial purposes. So in a nutshell, all you have to understand is that China wants to dominate this silver refining as well as industrial consumption market as well, because this is where value multiplies the most at the level of end products. And this explains the sharp price surge we saw on 28 December when the price difference on the Shanghai exchange widened to over $8. That gap was created through aggressive arbitrage, with buyers willing to buy a premium to secure physical silver. Once sufficient supply was pulled into the domestic market, China then imposed export restrictions starting from January 1, 2026. Together, these moves effectively lock in supplies during periods of shortage, ensuring availability at home while tightening global markets. I hope you have understood this much. Now, I showed you top 10 silver producing mines in the world. Now, if you look at the yearly production of silver since 2010 till now, you will notice that it has remained almost flat to slightly decline, hovering around 800 to 900 million ounces annually, with no significant capacity expansion. Plus, we know that most silver is a byproduct of mining copper, zinc, lead, etc. That is why you will see that not only silver price is booming, look at copper and zinc stocks, even they are up. So, we are clearly seeing that even if silver prices rise, that doesn't mean production is increasing. Production is flat to slightly decline. Soon, the reports will be out that the 2025 silver mine supply is estimated to be around 835 million ounces. In 2026, many reports are suggesting that the demand is expected to be around 1 to 1.5 billion ounces. Expectations are more, but the mine output remains a major concern. Clearly, there will be a deficit. If you look at silver prices at COMEX, look at it from 2022. After COVID, prices have gone up like anything. That means there is an increase in demand. Consumption is more than what is being mined. Now, if you look at the major trading hubs, vaults and industrial sites globally where silver is physically stored, they are Singapore, London, New York, Shanghai, there is some in India, Dubai, etc. Now, in the last 5 years, physical silver inventories, especially from major Western hubs, have drained. I'm talking about COMEX and LBMA. And where is this silver going? It is going especially in China to meet its industrial demand. Now, where exactly silver is going? It is going in electronics and tech industry. Electronics and tech industry uses 25 to 30% of global silver. Companies include Apple, Samsung, Nvidia, Intel, Microsoft. Silver is critical for chips, conductors, circuit boards. No silver is equal to no production. And the second industry is solar industry. Solar industry uses 15 to 20% of all silver produced. 8 out of top 10 global solar manufacturers are Chinese. Silver is essential for solar panels. Silver is used as a conductive paste in solar cells. This paste forms the front and back electrical contacts that collect and move electrons generated by sunlight. Silver is preferred because it has the highest electrical conductivity of any metal and is highly durable. Let me give you one analogy. Copper is like the roads that you see in your lane and main road. Silver is like your multi-lane high-speed highway. So if silver supply stops, production stops. Price doesn't matter as much as availability. And the third industry is automobile industry. An ICE car uses 15 to 28 grams of silver on an average. EVs use more silver, that is 25 to 50 grams. Major users are Tesla, BYD, Volkswagen, GM, Ford. Even if silver goes to $200, regular ICE car cost will barely change. Even electric vehicles cost will increase to some extent, but negligible. Now here's an important point that many people don't understand. Now people are saying that if there is no silver due to shortage, that will be equivalent to factories will shut down. That's not going to happen. I will explain with an example. Imagine you run a car factory. Every car needs a small amount of silver for electronics. Today, silver is $70 per ounce. You will be producing cars for the next 6 months. Now, suppose you don't hedge. Silver suddenly jumps to $150 to $200. Your cost per car shoots up overnight, but you can't raise your car prices immediately because then your calculation will ruin, profits will be crushed, or production slows. So what do? So this is where you're going to hedge. What hedging actually means is you sell silver futures contract on COMEX at today's price. This locks your silver cost in advance. Even if market prices explode later, your effective cost stays predictable. At the same time, you will still buy physical silver from refiners when needed. You see, the paper hedge offsets the price risk. You don't need to store massive silver stockpiles. So hedging keeps everything smooth, predictable, and running on schedule. Always remember this point. Manufacturers don't use futures contract to speculate. They use them to protect themselves from price shocks, so that factories keep running even when metal prices go wild. That means paper market is not going anywhere. ETF, futures contract, mining stocks, they are not useless. They are valuable only if you know how to play the game by looking at physical and paper prices, demand, policy changes, and future open interest contract. You cannot predict prices, but you can predict the direction. So if you understand the game, then paper silver can be lucrative for you. Now, most manufacturers keep only 2 to 4 weeks of silver inventory. That used to be the norm when silver was easy to source. Now deliveries are uncertain. Physical bars are hard to find. Now the car manufacturer will have to figure out a multi-year contract with miners and refiners to lock their supply. Manufacturing shutdown risk from silver shortages are very low. That's not going to happen, but companies will now have to pay premiums to lock in their supply. That means the moment you see silver future contracts along with silver spot price increasing, that's two things need to happen together. Only then we can come to this conclusion that fresh capital inflow is pouring into paper silver. That's a signal that demand is rising. As I said, manufacturers don't use future contract to speculate. They use them to protect themselves from price shocks. So in my opinion, we are going to see a little sideways movement in silver prices for at least a couple of weeks, or until fresh capital comes in, and that we can see through open interest contracts in relation with silver spot price. Now let's look at China's role. That's the major macro factor. As we know, China has introduced strict silver export restrictions from January 1st. Also, it is publicly known that silver is considered a strategic metal by both the United States and China. That means going forward, both these countries will cut down on their silver exports. And we know China wants silver for domestic solar production, electronics, EV industry and battery manufacturing. That means less silver is going to flow to the West. And I showed you countries producing silver. Mexico has 6 of top 10 mines. Then Argentina, Peru. A significant portion of silver from Mexico, Argentina and Peru is exported to China for processing and refining. And United States roughly imports around 80% of refined silver. The refineries in United States are more set up for a higher grade of gold and silver, which is called DOR. US refiners are not set up for a low-grade concentrate, whereas China imports massive volumes of low-grade silver ore concentrates from Mexico and Peru for its giant refineries processing cheaply. That is why you will see that United States is actively flushing out Chinese influence in Latin America through economic, diplomatic and security measures through USMCA tariffs. Recently, Mexico imposed tariffs on India. Connect that with this story. So it is all about metals going out from Latin America to China. That's what United States is behind. The same we will get to see in Africa soon. Latin America and Africa are prime targets for metal mining investments and operations due to their vast reserves of critical minerals. This is exactly why China is moving towards export restrictions on silver to protect its domestic market and secure critical and metal supplies during a period of tightening global availability. And in parallel, you hear comments like Trump joking about Canada or Greenland becoming part of the United States. Beneath the humor, there is a serious strategic layer. It's not just about politics. It's about resources, especially critical metals. In today's world, control over metals increasingly means control over supply chains, technology and power. Same goes with Venezuela. US is trying to control Venezuela from not going in the hands of Chinese investment. Now coming to silver ETFs. Currently, the global silver ETF holding is approximately 871 million ounces as of late 2025. That's almost less or similar to 1 year of global silver demand. If you see, major ETFs do hold real allocated physical silver bars that are stored in LBMA-approved vaults, example JP Morgan in London. They don't just have paper claims or cash, they do have real physical silvers. So if you see, they are a potential supply source. Large institutions can redeem ETF shares for physical silver bars, but the only problem is investors sell when only prices are higher. Rising prices reduce willingness to sell. That is why sometimes a little shake-off is necessary, so that some panic can sell. Only then there will be fresh injection and upward movement. Now we know that there is a disconnect between the paper price and physical price of silver. COMEX shows one price, but if you try buying real silver bars, premiums are very high, availability is limited. That means paper silver prices is not equal to physical silver prices. Paper silver, that is futures, ETFs, options, are driven by leverage, liquidity and sentiment. Whereas physical silver is driven by real demand, supply constraints and logistics. So in the short term, prices can diverge. But at some point, the difference is going to reduce. And then based on scarcity, silver prices of both physical and paper will move up. Always remember this point. If scarcity is real and persistent, then both physical and paper prices will move up together. If scarcity is temporary, premiums fall first, paper follows later. And in this entire video, I have explained silver scarcity and demand is real and legit. So paper silver will catch up in just a matter of time. So play the game only if you understand it. Now, if you look at the mining company, their production cost usually ranges around $14 to $18 an ounce, and they are selling silver at $30 to $35 an ounce. Now today, at $70 plus, silver mining companies' profits are triple or more. Even if silver tomorrow falls back to $50, mining companies will remain very profitable. Their earnings will rise multiple times year on year. With more free cash flow, mining companies can spend it behind exploration or debt reduction. And the thing that you have to understand is that silver miners generally don't ramp up production beyond existing capacity, even at higher prices, because 70 to 80% of silver comes as byproduct from lead, zinc, copper, gold mines. Output of silver is tied to those base metals, not silver price alone. And I've showed you silver production has stayed stagnant to little low since 2016. And then as you know, new mines takes around 5 to 10 years to set up. Then there is the problem of high cost, regulations that automatically limits quick expansion despite deficits. So overall, I've explained everything. Silver is essential for modern life, that is solar, electronics, cars, batteries. We are using more silver than we produce every year. Then physical silver is harder to get, especially in the West. Paper prices don't reflect real world shortages, but it will eventually match up if you play the game right. China is locking in its own supply, US is playing its own game in Latin America. If manufacturing companies fear that silver is going to run out, then prices will become secondary. They will anyhow buy silver at whatever price that is available. So overall, I am bullish on silver and the rest I leave it up to you. I hope you found this video informative. Thanks for watching and I'll see you in the next one.